scripture lesson is from the New Testament of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had borne a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
He never says a word, not one word. Most everyone from Catholic to Protestant alike ignores him year round. There are no great symphonies, there are no great books written about his contribution to the events surrounding Christmas and beyond. But without him, none of what we celebrate would have come to pass. Oh, I almost forgot to mention his name. His Joseph. And what happened to him, according to Matthew's text, is as much a miracle as what happened on Christmas Day. For on the night in question, Joseph became a father to God's son. In his sleepy, dreamlike state, Joseph allowed God to speak to him in the depths of his heart and to offer a resolution to what must have been the greatest dilemma he faced up to that point in his life, a dilemma that human reason could not begin to comprehend and fathom, that his sweetheart was pregnant by another. His girlfriend, Mary, had become pregnant by somebody other than him. That's for sure. That's what he knew. And on this night, every bit as miraculous a night as Christmas Eve was, an angel came and said to him in that sleeping state, "Joseph, Joseph." Where all of those thoughts of nightmarish dreams, of accusations and estrangement played out in the theater of Joseph's mind, wondering what to do, stone her, divorce her, let her go quietly, what do I do? The angel replaced all of those thoughts, all of those negative, disgraceful thoughts, with a manger scene and visions of a boy growing and becoming strong and a man. "Here," whispered the angel, "here is the key, you see, that unlocks the dilemma, Joseph. Believe Mary's unbelievable story. Believe what she tells you. Marry her and become the father of my son. Because he will need a father to be accepted by others as he grows into manhood. He will need not just any father, but a father like you, Joseph, capable of nurturing him and giving him a name, Emmanuel, God with us. He will need a father like you to teach him to take risks like the one you are taking tonight, for he will be tempted not to take them as he grows. He will need a father like you to teach him to withstand the disapproval of other people, as you will have to withstand the disapproval, no doubt, of family and community alike. He will need a father like you, Joseph, to teach him what to do in situations like the one you're going to face, when all hope seems lost and only pain and betrayal seem to be your options. To model for him how to believe in the unbelievable news that this is the way in which God decided to come into the world. In this way, I imagine, the Father of our Lord was born that night. And when Joseph awoke from that dream, he said, 'Not my will,' like we say every Sunday, but thine be done. It's truly unbelievable, this story. It's truly unbelievable, as Paul so accurately put it, what we claim, what we preach, that God came to be with us, well, it's just, frankly, folly to Gentiles, and it's a stumbling block to Jews. I'm amazed that anybody believes it, in essence, is what Paul is saying. But yet, here we are, 2,000 years later, here we are, saying with our ancestors, a child was born on a particular day when Quirinius was governor, when Herod ruled, beyond the power of anybody to account for, a child was born. This child came from a high and lofty one, and he was made instead to be low and helpless. This one who inhabits eternity, who dwells in the beginning as the Word has come to dwell now in our time, in our space, in our form, the one whom none could look on and live, according to scriptures, lives delivered in a stable under the gaze and look of indifferent animals. The Father of all mercies puts himself in our mercy. That's what Joseph represents, folks. He represents all of us, that God's gamble was not made in vain to become one of us, that God was willing to trust the likes of you and me, just amazes me with the most precious thing God has, his own son. And that can either be fact or it can be fiction, but it can be nothing in between. You must choose what to believe about this birth. And to all of those, especially to my friends who do not yet believe, I would simply point out to you, especially you on this date, that your letters that you send, your cards that you send, and your checks that you write, and your income tax forms that you prepare with a number every year represent how many years have gone by since what happened in a place called Bethlehem. The world of AD is one world, folks, and the world of BC is another world. It is clear, you see, to me, that God came and spoke distinctly to Joseph and Mary, but the truth is that God still comes to ordinary people like you and me, people who are like Joseph, people who are given a raw deal and told to look at it as if it is a blessing, people who will never have carols sung about their dreams and their hopes and their dreams of what they did, but who, like Joseph, have made that incredible leap of faith and have come to believe the unreasonable, illogical, incomprehensible mystery that we call the incarnation. You see, still God still comes, just like God did 2,000 years ago, just like God did 10,000 years. God continues to come to a hurting world that is high on cynicism and low on hope. God still comes to a woman living on a fixed income, who gives of her time and her money as if there was an endless supply of both. God still comes to the nameless men who scrub the floors at the local hospitals that we walk down the corridors by and miss every time we are there. And the step from God was with Mary and Joseph to Emmanuel, God with us, might not be as great a leap as we first thought. What keeps the wild hope of Christmas alive is not presents. It's not trees. It's not food. It's not even family. What keeps the hope of Christmas alive year after year in a world that is notorious for dashing hopes, in a world that is haunting dreams, that this one child born 2,000 years ago in the city of David, in a place called Bethlehem, under the eyes of cattle and sheep alike, under the threat of terrorism by Herod and all that Herod representative, may yet be born again, even in the likes of us, folks, that we might come to have the same dream that Joseph had that night, that we might hear the angel say, I have come to be with you. My name is Emmanuel. Amen.
We didn't.